This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. How often do you think about your soap? Well, if you answered, not much, maybe you should. You see, a lot of what passes for soap in stores is technically not soap, according to the FDA's definition. It's full of lab-created chemicals and detergents because, well, it's cheaper to make. Now, what if you could buy natural soap made from natural ingredients like tallow, palm oil, coconut oil, and scented with essential oils, and for just a little more than you'd pay for grocery store soap? Sterling soap is 100% natural, and with a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne, there's a product and a scent for just about everybody. Check them out for yourself at sterlingsoap.com. That's STIRLING soap.com.
Tonight we'll go back season's time, when 22 men graced the rugged fields of yesterday, fighting for one more first down, one more yard gain, one final score that would bring victory after 60 minutes of battle on the gridiron. Tonight, we'll explore the world of gridiron greats. Welcome to Gridiron Greats, football history and its memorabilia on the Sports History Network, in conjunction with Swick Enterprises, and we're live from the Southport, North Carolina home of Gridiron Greats magazine. I'm Bob Swick, publisher and editor of Gridiron Greats Magazine, and I'll be your host for the show. Gridiron Greats Magazine is the only publication in America which focuses upon the history and memorabilia of the North American football game since its inception in 1869. We cover 150-plus years of football history and memorabilia, and you can find us on the web at gridirongreatsmagazine.com. It is at this time I would like to introduce my co-host. So, senior contributing writer to Gridiron Greats magazine, a football memorabilia historian, specializing in pre-World War II items, in particular Red Grange, and also Seattle Seahawk items, in particular Steve Largent. He hails from Portland, Oregon, the one, the only. Joe, welcome to the show.
The one and only. I like that, Captain. That's pretty good. Good morning. Good afternoon to you. This is a back-to-back shows.
That's right.
Brenda's going to be tired of me doing shared time with you between her and I.
Well, we have to do what we have to do to keep the word of football, memorabilia, and history going.
Yeah.
And I want to start off with our little chit-chat here before our special guest. What really goes on or in a league now that players don't spend their entire career with one team? What happens when they go to the Hall of Fame? What team do they actually pick? Is it longevity? Is it most success? What do they really choose with regards to what team they want to play for? All right, so if we look at things and we examine things. We look at a Johnny Unitas that went and played one season, one horrific season with the San Diego Chargers. It was so sad to see him with a bolt instead of a horseshoe on his helmet. We look at a Brett Favre who
bounced,
or did a Aaron Rodgers route now.
Yeah. Vikings and then the Jets, or vice versa. Yeah.
And in Favre's case, the arch rival Minnesota Vikings, whereas Rodgers goes to the Steelers because the Steelers were basically going to play the NFC Central for the season. So they're using him, you know, for his knowledge of the NFC Central for whatever good it is now, since he hasn't played in the Central going on three seasons. So what do they do? I mean, who picks what? And there's so few players today that play their entire career in any sport with one team. Because sports are a business today. I mean, we just have to disregard that, you know, there's loyalty to one team, so on and so forth, including the Packers, and the Packers being a publicly owned team. You know, you're not really dealing with an owner. You're dealing with, you know, 400,000 owners or whatever, for the lack of a better way of explaining it. So who picks pick and why do they pick it? And I know you've had some pretty serious experiences with several Seahawk players who played out their end of careers with the Seahawks, and conversely, have played with the Seahawks and then ended up with other teams, so on and so forth. So I'm going to throw the ball to you now and give us some input as far as what your thoughts.
And what got this conversation going? You and I were, texting about this after our last show, where I went to the Raiders to see the Raiders in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. Horrific team, by the way. Geno Smith and Pete Carroll. I mean, there's a prime example. The old head coach of the Seahawks, who took him to the show twice and won one. And then, Geno, the placeholder quarterback, after Danger Russ Wilson left. But I went to grab a beer, and there they have this Hall of Fame. They have their Ring of Honor, I believe they call it. And I'm looking at all the players, and it's cool to see what jerseys people are wearing, because a lot of Bo Jackson jerseys, which was really cool. But then when I'd see somebody wearing a Jim Otto jersey, I'm like, hey, great throwback. But I was really looking for a Marcus Allen jersey, because to me, Marcus Allen was the greatest Raider of all time. I mean, I say that, but what got me was their Ring of Honor here. Hang on a second. Let me. Oh, whoops. What really got me was their Ring of Honor. I thought that was pretty interesting. Let me share this here. Producer Ricky, if you could share that, please. But here it was. Thank you, Ricky. And if you look at it, you've got Tim Brown, Ray Guy, Warren Sapp. Do you think of the Raiders when you hear Warren Sapp?
Not at all. Not at all.
I do not. And right next to that, Seahawk great Jerry Rice, number 80,
Not at all. Not at
which is
all.
a perfect segue. And then Woodson. Who else did Woodson play for?
Steelers.
The Steelers.
And
In fact, he spent most of his time at the Steelers. This one row really got me, because it's like Ray Guy obviously spent his life there. Tim Brown, I mean, but Warren Sapp. And I'm like, that is really ballsy for the Raiders to say, here's our Ring of Honor: Warren Sapp, Jerry Rice, Rod Woodson. And you and I were talking about the last show. It's like, what allows a team to take credit for someone? Because when you go into the Hall of Fame, and let's say you've bounced around, the player is the one who chooses what team they want to represent them. So it'd be very interesting, because like we talked about Marcus Allen. Marcus Allen was unceremoniously traded to the Chiefs because they drafted Bo Jackson, and Marcus had to start playing fullback behind Bo Jackson. I mean, so when the Raiders roll out the red carpet and ask Marcus Allen to come back for something for the Raiders, is he likely to do that? Well, he was there for Eric Allen's, Hall of Fame induction on the game that day. He was there. But I don't know. And if the Raiders aren't even loyal, I still think of them as the Oakland Raiders, and then the LA Raiders, and then back to Oakland, and then Las Vegas. The Raiders are more free agency than players.
Parallel that, okay, you look at the St. Louis Cardinals, which I always think the Cardinals are in St. Louis. They're not Arizona, they're not Phoenix, so on and so forth. The Rams, feeling the Rams were the Cleveland Rams, and then the Los Angeles Rams, then the St. Louis Rams, and then the Los Angeles Rams again, so on and so forth. The Chargers were always the San Diego Chargers, not the Los Angeles
Couldn't
Chargers.
agree more. It's weird to think of them as the LA Chargers.
Start paralleling a lot of these players, and again, going into a time frame for probably the past 20 years now plus, where players are rent-a-players playing a few seasons here and there, or like a Joe Montana who ended up playing with the Chiefs, so on and so forth. It really kind of skews the accomplishments of the players, and it also, confuses a fan, and a Raiders fan. Are you excellent example with the Seahawks? Again, how many guys at the end of their careers,
I joke around because it just said, you saw Jerry Rice. He played two seasons with the Raiders, and I
Correct.
joke around when I say Seahawk great Jerry Rice. Obviously, Jerry spent 1.2 years with the Seahawks and was released. But I mean, and it's a joke. I mean, Jerry Rice is and always will be. I don't know, between the NIL of college and free agency. And free agency is obviously good. You want players who have a small window of a career, a running back, 7, 8 years tops. You want them to make as much money as possible before they. You look at Earl Campbell now hobbling out to an autograph signing. You're like, that guy deserved as much money as he could. But it's still tough. I mean, I'm.
And you basically see most guys signing today, at least I'm seeing it at local shows. These are local Carolina guys that
Yeah.
were born and raised here, and they're basically trying to pick up a part-time income.
Totally. Well, you brought it up, so I'm going to I'm going. Whoops. You brought it up, so here we hang on, Ricky, if you could share that. But this. Can you What do you think of when you see that? I mean, you brought this one up, and this is one that I had Ricky pull from the interweb. This looks bad. But poor Johnny Yu, and this is before free agency. But poor Johnny Yu, that shouldn't happen. That's a tarnish. And I think I mentioned when I did the Hall of Fame, dinner. Dan Fouts brought up that, he was drafted in 74 and he stood behind Johnny Yu as the starter before he got. But he's like, the guy knew more about football than his pinky. I mean, because think of that. He'd been in the league for 16, 15, 16 years at that point.
And again, he accomplished nothing with the Chargers. The Chargers at that time were not his style in any way, shape, or form. It was just a lousy way to end a career and a lousy trade at
And
the same time.
here's another one. Seahawk great Franco Harris.
Exactly.
Thanks, Ricky. Good timing.
And that to me is very sad because he exemplified the Steelers of the 70s.
Yes.
And to go and end up with that, that's not a that wasn't good. That wasn't good.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to see your player. I mean, and you think about Bill Walsh, and I've read, or heard interviews of Joe Montana talking about, him play finishing out his career as a Kansas City Chief. He was like, Bill Walsh was all business. He goes, yeah, we accomplished a lot in the 80s, but he's like, he's all business. And he was always very honest with us. When we are done performing, we are done starting. And he's like, so it came as no surprise when Steve Young got got the nod to start, and then I was traded or signed with the Chiefs. He's like, I don't feel, I don't dislike Bill Walsh for that. He was always very honest with us. This is a game, and we're here to win and generate revenue. It still probably doesn't make it any easier,
No, not at all. Not at all.
so
And
but.
again, you have a lot of guys that break up with the team in bad circumstances and that kind of situation. And I think Rodgers was one of them. Rodgers really was
Oh,
really upset, realizing, he was not doing well at the end of his career with the Packers, as much as he felt he was in stop, he should have been the going out on his own terms, he wasn't able to. Now look at his
yeah.
two years with the Jets. It was ridiculous,
Horrible. Well, snap, whatever series number one, Monday Night Football. I remember watching that, in a bar.
comical to watch. And now with the Steelers, everybody's praising him. He's invented him, reinvented himself. Well, he couldn't beat Flacco last week or whatever week it was.
What did
So
they call that? The Geritol Bowl?
40 plus year old quarterbacks battling, and the journeyman who everybody puts down all the time because he's a rent-a-player, ends up being a running a much better offense than he did that day.
I've got a good friend who's a Raiders fan, has been since a kid. And I'm like, how can you be a Raiders fan, when they go from Oakland to LA,
Yeah.
they split a stadium, with the Rams,
Yeah.
at the time, and now they moved to Vegas. Like, that's no loyalty. That's not team loyalty.
Right.
Like, whatever, 10 years ago, the Seahawks were threatening to move because, I forget what circumstances. And that same friend asked me, would you continue to be a Seahawk fan if they moved to LA or whatever? And I said, no, because that's the ultimate disloyalty from a team to a fan, is to
Yeah.
pull the franchise and move. I ceased being a Seahawk fan the day they move. I mean,
Yeah.
it will be a Seahawk history, fan,
Yeah.
but I won't follow them anymore.
I fully understand it. I get
So
that.
you're lucky. The Packers can't, won't move.
No. And I'm not worried about that either because again, the teams that I grew up with and I loved are long gone today. So, I have difficulty adjusting to the rent-a-player concept and it's just the way it is and that's it,
By the way, you're wearing a very handsome hat today. What do you got there? What's it?
My this is my my black Packer hat.
Nice.
And
Looking good, Captain.
I found it. I have about a half a dozen Packer hats and I was going through the closet, so I said, let me wear this one today. All
Look.
right. Our special guest is here, and I would like to introduce him to our audience and get into our regular program. Our special guest has been a lifelong fan of Michigan State University and has been going to football games at Spartan Stadium since he was 9 months old.
Attaboy.
This year marks his family's 49th year with the same five season tickets. He is a third generation Spartan and graduated in 2005 with degrees in civil and environmental engineering. He started collecting MSU memorabilia when he was 10 years old, when he found some 1950s MSU football programs that his grandfather had. He fell in love with the cartoon artwork on the covers, and it just took off from there. I'd like to welcome to our show today, Mr. Brandon Kintner. Brandon, thanks for coming on.
That is some football history, Brandon. Well done.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I'd like to start off by asking you, and if you could explain to to our audience how you got interested in collecting MSU memorabilia.
Other than finding a bunch of programs in your grandpa's closet, yeah.
I mean, with most of my family being alumnus and going to football games in Spartan Stadium for past 43 years now, just going on campus as I was growing older, seeing all the the band and the football and just loved Michigan State, right? And then I found some of those programs, really like the cartoon artwork, and I can show some more here in a little bit. But I just started like picking up anything I could, and then kind of stealing stuff my parents had already, because because they were there back in the early to mid 70s, and so they said they had some of this, the football stuff, program stuff like that, and like 79 basketball, right, with Magic Johnson. So they had a lot, a couple pennants and stuff like that that I took. So they had a room down in the basement that was all MSU stuff, and I just really liked that, liked to look at all that stuff, loved the pennants, the nostalgia of it. And then as soon as I, got a little older, 10, 11, 12 years old, I got really into history and loved Greek and Roman history, mythology, where the Spartans, so kind of combined that passion with the football team and the school. And then, eventually later on, I got really interested in the history of MSU, and how it was founded, why it was founded, all of the attempts of that school down the road trying to discredit and get rid of programs at Michigan State. So that's where a lot of it came in, and so I just went down that rabbit hole of learning all this stuff on the history of the school and the sports teams, and just was finding things and picking stuff up, scrapbooks from the teens and the 20s, and they had all this ephemera in it, and now I'm at 20 some thousand pieces combined.
Holy moly. Wow.
That's rivaling my Steve Largent rookie card collection.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how, and again, I had the advantage of being from a family that went there, had a lot of family members that either went there or root there, and then, I mean, except for one small contingent that's U of M fans, but I still love them. But
They just have to sit at the children's table on Thanksgiving.
pretty much, right? So that's kind of how it started, and as I said, it just snowballed, and I like a lot of collectors, I love the chase, love the hunt. And when I find a piece, you'll see there's a lot of glass. There'll be a lot of refraction if I start showing things. I love displaying it because I love looking at it.
Some of your older programs mean a lot more because the programs you found, that were your grandfather's, those likely he bought at the game. They were likely folded in half and stuffed in the back pocket. Those were his. There's provenance to that.
And it's the same. I got some from the 70s that my folks had gotten, and then some from early 80s when I was, 3, 4, 5 years old or whatever, went to those games. And I have it, unfortunately, I wasn't saving tickets, when I was younger, because you don't think about it when you're 10, right? But when I started to, which was the late 90s, when I was in high school, and then when I went to state in the early 2000s, I have all of my tickets going back, close to 30 years.
That's incredible. That's a cool run. Well, especially since you've had the same seats for, what is it, 49 years? Oh my gosh. I mean, it's the same seat, six home games a year. I mean, same seat. Here it is, game one, game two. That's really cool. Has Michigan State, have they ever honored you? I mean, you see it all the time, like at games, like, hey, season ticket holders for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Have they ever spotlighted you and, hey, please stand up?
No, not yet. But they do that. If it were to happen, it'd probably be next year, because that's 50,
50 years.
right? But I think this year they honored someone that was like 70 or 75 at one of the games.
Wow.
It gets to that point, and it's going to be the same with me. It's like, the tickets are in my father's name, but he's in his 70s, and he won't be taking them on. It will be me, right? But
Talk about rabid fans, 70 years. That is just incredible. That is absolute dedication to a school and a program. You got to tip your hat to that. So, well, we discussed it in our emails back and forth, but I always love looking over people's shoulders at what they have, because what hangs on the wall, what sits on a desk, is something that people adore and want to see all the time. Like if you look at over Bob's right shoulder, you'll see an 89 Pacific Steve Largent wax pack. Which obviously he adores.
I'm waiting for my royalty check this month, Joe, for keeping that on, so
So you'd asked if you could do a little tour of your man cave, and I think the captain and I are ready for a field trip around.
right, let's
See what you got. What are your so basically, what are your top items? What are your favorite items? What do you adore enough to hang on the wall?
All right, well, let me try to figure out if I can switch my camera somehow. So it's technical difficulties. Got a couple engineering degrees in the game here.
Our producer can help you if you need.
All right, see if he
Richard.
can. Yeah.
I'm just
Click.
kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Are you on a laptop if you just want to pick that up?
I'm on my cell phone.
Oh,
But it
you
won't
should
let
get it.
me. I click on my face to do the switch around.
Oh, no worries. Just hold it over your shoulder or point it out in that direction.
Just walk. You can
I'll
walk
start.
with. All
Oh,
right,
look
let's
at
start
that.
around.
Look at this.
All right, let's see here. So we'll start
My
here with my normal
wife
shirt.
would kill me.
This is one of my favorite pieces, and I actually just picked it up last year at Nationals. It's a sheepskin that honors, it's a fraternity, honors fraternity, but it honors the Purdue Michigan State game in 1940. There's the program and a game ticket frame next to it.
Oh my.
Okay. I know you have a degree in civil engineering, which probably
Yes.
helps you lay out, stuff and make it look organized.
Yep.
How do you, when you get something like that, how do you decide like what goes or wall space? 'Cause I, yeah.
So, 2 3 times a year I'm rearranging my whole basement. And I just did it last weekend. It took me 14 hours.
So behind all those wall hangings are a bunch of holes in the
Whole points,
previous. Okay.
yeah.
That's
And
what I thought.
it's as I said, you'll see I've got pretty much everything professionally framed. It's
The
all
light
museum.
fixture. The
Yep,
light
it
fixture above your
all that
noggin
off.
there. That cracks me up.
Yeah, that came out of a bar in Lansing that closed down back in the early 2000s. It's but yeah, no. So all the stuff's framed at 99% UV glass, museum quality. I've got a framer here in north of Detroit in Ferndale, the second story interiors that like frames Ty Cobb's jersey for his family and stuff for the
You get a
wow.
Christmas card from him
I do.
every
Well,
year.
I get wholesale prices, but yes. Great guys, they do great work, and I, they probably framed 400, 500 pieces for me, something like that.
And by the way, if you just got a free commercial in for them on
I know I should get
our
some.
podcast.
No, that's one thing I would say, to other collectors is what you want to do, right? It's how you want to display it and display it right. Like, don't go cheap.
Totally.
You don't want to
Yeah.
ruin something, so find some people you trust and go with them. But kind of back to it, one other thing on that wall that I thought's pretty interesting is this guy. He looks like the like Mad Magazine kind
He
of.
does.
Oh, pretty Newman.
Neil
Yeah,
Patel, thank you. I was actually, I couldn't remember that name, Captain. Well done.
so that actually is a purse. It's made by Collegic of Ames, Iowa, that makes all the pennants, right? But it's a purse, and that's the only I've only seen three,
Wow.
one MSU one Northwestern and one Notre Dame one, and
Wow.
so I think it was just a sales sample and that never took off. But it just cracks me up that it's a purse.
Wow. That's incredible.
All right, let's look. So little not football related, but I think it's cool anyway.
Incredible, Brandon. This is so cool.
This is
I
a
think
nice.
this is the first tour that the
Yeah.
captain that I've taken just around somebody's man cave. This is awesome.
So this is a 1924 basketball jersey. I like how they had leotards.
Oh my
And
gosh.
a great story with this is friends of our family found that at a antique store in Birch Run, Michigan. And I got that, his yearbook, Mac hat. Mac sweater, 1924 varsity sweater, and like five other pieces. All like his family just, sold it to the antique store and it was all together. So that was one of my, best finds.
Wow.
A couple of the older programs against Michigan, 1911, 12,
Wow.
and then of course the cool Steins are the only ones I know of. 1914 Penn State MAC ticket. A whole bunch of stuff down there, and then you go up. You got the commemorative football that's signed by the 56 Rose Bowl team. This came out of Hank Bulla's estate, so that's the 1965 Michigan State game signed by the entire team. So like Bubba Smith and Gene Washington, and all those guys that, four of the top eight of the NFL draft that year were on that team.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Another one by the 56 team, and then for me this is interesting. So this is a commemorative ball given to Claude Erickson, and Claude Erickson's kind of notorious. He was a civil engineer, did all the design work for MAC MSC for their buildings and stuff, but he kind of got us in trouble by paying players in the 40s. And so
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
that's yeah it, just said ask the guys down the road. But that you guys would, get a kick out of.
That is a really cool display. I saw that over your
Wow.
shoulder.
Wow.
That's incredible.
So
What year is that from?
the guy played 24 through 26. He was our starting center. And I mean, just I love the shoulder pads are only like 18 inches wide, right?
I was just going to say they look so small. It's so funny. What used to be a starter back then would be 6 foot, 180 pounds. Yeah.
Well, even that. So I'm 6'4", more than I want to be. Weight wise, my wife, who's 5'5", and like, a 130 couldn't fit into that. It's like, it's super tiny, but that's just what they
Wow.
were, right? This is one of my other favorite pieces. This 6 foot Michigan Aggie banner.
Wow, that's really cool.
And then, of course, I got the, 1910-ish pennant, a couple
That
football
green
programs.
looks really good on that banner. I mean, and that
Oh yeah. It
what goes in.
basically was probably stored in a lockbox someplace and not out, so it faded. And then you'll see I've got a couple that were out and are well faded, but come over here and then I got all my shiny stuff down in
Do you
here.
put, yeah, just out of curiosity, like I have an old, Red Grange after he left football did these little, he was an announcer for college football and he would advertise at gas stations, pick your teams. And I came across like an 8 foot long, 2 foot tall banner that hung in a gas station to advertise that. Filthy. And I remember getting it. It was soaking it in a bathtub with Woolite, for a day and then rinsing it, doing it again and again. Before you frame something like that, I mean, what obviously you clean it to keep the glass from,
Yeah, to the best. I mean, I try to keep it as authentic as I kind of can without, but I also, if I can, strategically clean something to preserve it, I do it. But if it's anyone that I think is going to damage it, I just frame it as is. And, I, because that to me, it's preserving the item, preserving the history is more important than it looking good.
Okay.
Wow. But,
Very cool.
Yeah, I turned my light on so you can see the screen.
Oh, that looks so good. Wow.
But yeah, so China stuff. I got some 19, like 17, 19, 18 football charms. I got a couple from 1934, their win over Fordham, which I think is that guy.
Yeah.
That was a big one. I got Rose Bowl ones, 54 and 56, 19 or 2014 Rose Bowl, MAC rings.
Wow.
All the shiny stuff. I love spoons. I don't know why, but the spoons are all MAC spoons.
Hey, who are we to make fun of a spoon collector?
Wow.
Patches. That's the other one. I love patches. I like that little football guy.
Well, that's cool.
Oh, that's nice. Wow. Man.
And then you can kind of see. So then I got a whole wall that was behind me. This is my hazing poster wall. It's all the hazing posters from, the mid-teen. I think the oldest ones. Yeah, so 1910 was when they did their Carnival days, football rush, all this and that. And then a
God.
couple. This one's kind of cool. This is when we were trying to, go from MAC to MSC, and see, these are pamphlets that they were passing out in like
Yeah.
1915.
I love that border you put around it. That looks really good.
Wow.
Cap night, the freshmen used to always burn their caps at cap night. And that I think there's only two MAC ones in existence, and I have one of them. I know of one other, because normally what you find is the burnt ones that are like that, right? That are just the top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burn your kids. I didn't know.
I love these. Your freshman count your days, ye boobs of 18.
Hey, there's some history of just
Oh yeah.
hazing and joking
Wow.
around for 100 years.
Yep. And then of course, again, going back to the artwork, I
Look at
love
that. That
the
looks
mid-60s, and then there's the
so
original
good.
game of the century, right? The 10-10 tie in 1966, where Era decided not to, try to score to win the game because he was afraid of our defense. So, yeah, this was kind of cool. So these are from the Detroit Free Press. These are shots that were in the paper. So those are the printing blocks from that game, the turn of the century game, and then of course I got all the tickets for the that season right
Incredible.
next to it. Let's see, what else do we got? Okay, then we can go over 1910s. Well, Michigan State's or MAC's first win over U of M was 1913. So this is a lot, you know, there's the team, there's the article in the Detroit Saturday night paper about the game. Far as I know, that's the only one of that. 1914. One of my prized possessions is the football program from 1913, that game. That's in mint condition, and there's like four or five of them known to exist.
Gee. Yeah, they're not making it here.
No. And then I got, years ago, a couple years ago, I got into the postcards. So that's all from the game, the 1913 MAC game.
That's cool. That's right.
And you can see I've got all the postcards kind of all lined up on the top. And then I got a couple of programs. It's 1919 Michigan, 1920 Michigan. And then, of course, in the bathroom, you got to have all most of the U of M stuff because that's where it belongs. So here's the...
let's see that urinal cake, that UM urinal cake.
So yeah, so it's you know, unfortunately I Jeez. Had to put Antonio in here, but he doesn't deserve to be in here, but that's the space okay. I got for him.
That is the perfect look at that wall, just everything perfectly aligned. The other one over your shoulder.
Wow. yeah
just
yep.
Everything same frame, same size, just wow. That really scratches my OCD itch just seeing
yeah,
it.
Perfect. Exactly. You're exactly right. And you'll see another one because it's over here too. But so here's another one of my favorite walls. So 1916 football jersey.
Wow.
There's the Letterman sweater that went with that basketball jersey.
That's really good looking. I like that logo.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. 1904 team. This is a program. And more postcards, 22 game, that's baseball championship 1904. Full ticket to the 1925 Penn State Michigan State College game. And yeah, so here's one, a pennant that, you know, was out and faded, right? On the back side, it's nice and green, but on the front, ooh. That. But I loved it. And
yeah.
I had a baseball bat, Michigan Agricultural baseball bat. And of course, you got to have the tobacco, you know, others all framed. And then one of my other favorite things is, so our guest room, we call the Rose Bowl room, and you can see why.
Oh, holy man.
Okay, I have to ask Brandon. I was just going to say, like, most of your friends probably know you're a huge collector. But like,
yes.
Does your wife ever have somebody over? And you're upstairs having dinner, and at some point, they're like, "Oh, you collect?" And you're like, "A little bit, yeah."
Yeah.
And then at some point,
yeah.
She's like, "Well, go show them." Then they walk downstairs, and they're like, "Holy!"
Yeah. I've had fellow MSU collectors here, and you know, 5-6 hours, you know, and we still didn't get through everything. but you're right. Most people, especially people that don't collect, it's overwhelming. You know, and because again, I could sit here and talk, and actually one of the pieces I picked up this past week was that 1966 watch, Rose Bowl watch.
Oh, wow.
So that was Jess Phillips. He played on 66 team or 65 team, and then played 10 years in the NFL. I was drafted by the Bengals in 68 as a defensive back / running back. So yeah, I just picked that up this week. That was kind of cool. But yeah, you know,
wow.
Game jerseys from the 14 and 88 Rose Bowls. And
so you put your mother-in-law in this room when she stays over, I assume.
Yeah. Well, everybody goes, everybody stays over. they stays in this room. But yeah, and this is one of my favorite pieces too, just because of how it turned out. I mean, it's 88, but all the pins and the tickets and stuff and ribbons.
Wow.
And
that's really cool.
And then this is kind of cool. It's the Michigan State legislature named a day after the kicker that won the 88 Rose Bowl. And so that's the declaration that they did and they gave to him.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, you can see I love framing the pennants with the with pins
Just, yeah,
and
that
stuff
looks
like that.
really good.
And then
How
we
many
went from
times have you framed like three or four things, and then you come up with a different idea to frame stuff, and you have to go back and reframe the other stuff so that it matches?
More than I'd want.
Because, yeah, that's never happened to me. That's
Wow.
never
Yeah.
happened to me.
Yeah, it's constantly evolving, and I get an idea and I run with the idea and then hopefully it doesn't change. But I will say so. I mean, do you guys know who George Perlis is? He was the football coach for State back in the 80s when he was the 88 Rose Bowl coach. I think he was a Giant, New York Giant coach at one point too, but don't quote me on that.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So he recently passed away like 2 years ago, and fellow collector friend of mine was friends with him, and so he got a lot of stuff from George's estate, and then I have acquired it. One of being this Rose Bowl blanket that it's got George's name on
Oh, wow.
it, and I got a football. One of the footballs that was over by that other jersey came out of his house and all this and that, but. I got some other things. All right, next wall,
I like
1914 banner. You can't, again, a lot of glass, it's hard to tell, but this sword, it says Michigan Agricultural College etched on it. It was a cadet sword. These guys were 1880 cadets. That's the hat
Wow.
that goes with it.
Wow.
And then you got another cadet hat. This is the 1905-ish. And then in the corner back there is a 1915 cadet hat, but this is a pillow, and I could it's I don't really want to because it's a pain in the butt, but if you on the back it's framed too. It says 1917, so you can see it. Another one of my favorite pieces, 38 Orange Bowl. It's the first bowl game for Michigan State. We lost it, but it's still a cool piece. And of course then I got all these pins from the 20s, 30s through 40s down there. And then again with the framing in it, so between 1950, the William and Mary game, and 1953 Indiana game when they finally came to the Big Ten, Biggie Munn won 28 straight games. So
Wow.
this is the 28
That's the run.
run. I am missing a 1951 ticket to the Colorado game,
That
but
what's
as
a
you can
sticky
see,
note? What's a sticky note?
1951 Colorado, it's ready. And then I got a 19. This is a signed by the 1951 national title team. This pennant is. And then of course coming down through my stairs to go up, excuse my
Wait,
dog said,
what?
all 1950s. And again, I fell in love with it. Right, like it was this program in particular. I just love the artwork on that. And then going into like. Him cooking a turtle for against Maryland, right? Like
How many of these, because you discovered your grandparents' programs. How many of these are your grandparents? You
only a
just had
couple.
1950s coming down the stairway.
Just a couple.
Okay.
And most of those I didn't frame because they weren't in good condition. I'd find ones that were,
Better.
in
Okay.
better condition to frame. And then one more room in the basement. It's not entire. I got stuff upstairs, but we don't need to go up
That's
there.
it. That's it. Just one
Your
more room.
basement was bigger than my compound in
And
Wallingford
that's
that I just got out.
the captain you're talking to.
Lord.
These came
Wow.
out of MSU when they redid the football locker rooms and stuff. So the 55 team, the 56 Rose Bowl team, 57 champs. This one's kind of fun. Tom Juchek, he was the quarterback on the 54 Rose Bowl team and playing the NFL and stuff, but that's his All-American certificate for baseball. And then I love pennants, as I said. So here's a run of some, my older
Wow.
pennants,
What do you
which,
call this room you're in? Did I see a workout machine there?
it's the weight room.
Okay. How
And
often
then
does
I
that
get,
weight room get used?
wow.
It used to a lot. Now it's kind of a catch-all, but
Yeah.
it is what it is. But
You're afraid if you drop those weights, stuff will fall out of the display case.
exactly.
You froze up.
Yeah.
Too far away from the
Want
wow.
to capture.
Yeah.
Oh. George
Welcome back.
Carlos's tour, and then of course.
Hey Brandon, you're too deep in the man cave. We started losing you on Wi-Fi.
All right, hold up. Let me get back.
There you go.
Hear me?
You need
am I
a,
on?
You need a All Michigan right. State Wi-Fi yeah. repeater.
I have them. They don't work, but you can kind of see. I'll do this. I got basketball over there. More stuff. I got all the. You know, all that's Perlis, 1907, FDR, not FDR, Teddy Roosevelt came and gave the inauguration, so that's kind of a tribute to him.
Jeez.
And then hopefully this works. I got a locker that came out of the football building.
That's cool.
Wow.
And that, you know, some old shoulder pads from the 40s that say MSC. Another Rose Bowl jersey, game worn. He only played one snap, though.
Game worn.
Game worn.
Okay, then, so I got to ask. You've just shown, we have just drank from the fire hose. people call me a collector and obsessive. I'm going to show this video to my wife because she owes me an apology for making fun of me for collecting Steve Largent and stuff.
Wow.
Here's the scenario, and I'm sure you've heard it. There's a fire in your house, and you can only grab five things. What are you grabbing?
Yeah. Well, what I'd grab that, probably that, and a couple
sheepskin.
Programs.
Number
yeah,
four is
I,
your
I,
sheepskin.
I, yeah, and then again, you know, this is also cool. 1910 Notre Dame MAC ticket. That's a recent first. But problem with that line of thought is, there's no way I could. This stuff's too heavy. So rare.
That hypothetical doesn't play into, you know, weight and encumbrance.
Right.
It's just
no.
What are your favorite?
But it'd be some of those old programs. I got a buddy of mine. He's a U of M collector. His name's Kenny, and he co-wrote a book on all of U of M's football games going back to 1880, whatever it is. And had the programs and the tickets in the book, right? And I think 18 or 19 of the pieces are mine because they're basically just one-of-ones. And either the only ones that are known to exist or the best copy of it, right? So, I always kind of struggle with that because I've had people ask me that before. It's like, well, yeah, I really love all this stuff. I do have some favorites, but when you have one of ones, it's really hard to kind of segregate that from all right, well, that Michigan Aggie banner, I know of one more, right? So it's like, there is another one in existence. But you know, some of these programs, again, it's like, it's just that there's one of them, you know?
Wow.
I'm totally blown away. I mean, I've seen collections over the years for the magazine interviewing super collectors. I saw one of the most intense Cleveland Brown collections ever way back
show dog.
Years ago with Dan Goich. I have never, Brandon, I've been doing this collecting, viewing my entire life. I am blown away. I'm just blown away by what you have. And you say you have over 20,000 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you seem very organized, so I'm sure you got everything.
There's a lot of binders, a lot of boxes that are, you know, waterproof, sealed, all the time.
Okay. I'm speechless. This is incredible. And just to think, I met you at a pizza dinner this past summer, and you know, you mentioned it, but I was just blown away. And then picking up on VFC, looking at some of the stuff and seeing one, I said, you got to be on the show because this is just incredible. I'm speechless. I mean, I'm blown away. That's all I can say. It's incredible.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and honestly, in person, it's way different.
Oh, I'm sure.
And again, you know, I could sit here and talk for hours. I mean, there's stuff I kind of glanced over that I, you know, stuff I really like, but it's like the postcards, right? Like, I never got into postcards, the real, photo postcards.
Sure.
Probably about 4 years ago now, I think
Oh,
I
wow.
finally,
Okay.
and I've got over 1,000.
They're beautiful, yeah.
And
You must have collector's insurance. I mean, an insurance writer, yeah.
it's Collectors Insurance of America.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I'm in awe. I am just blown away.
Bob, I would imagine you've seen shoebox collections, bins filled with Lucy's, and then you come to this, and that's one thing, Brandon, that just stands out is how organized they are. And
Yeah.
here you talk about UV glass, and you've had things framed and reframed and stuff. It's just whatever, 6 months, twice a year, you're reorganizing.
I mean that's what's the most impressive thing is how beautiful everything looks displayed. I mean there's such beauty in the way you've got it laid out and how precise everything is. It's just I'm just
Then you
well,
look over my shoulder.
I'm sure.
I've got Lionel Messi jersey that I wore at World Cup framed, and a Gronkowski leaning up against the wall on a couch.
My three Packer pennants
Yeah.
behind or
Held up with a thumbtack.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. I don't know what to say. We should have just thrown away the scripts and just had you on and just had our tour of this and that's it. I hate to ask, is there anything you're actively looking for that is a must-have for your collection? Anything
We
on your
saw one yellow sticky
was
note.
one yellow? Yeah, I need that 1951
51 to
MSC versus Colorado ticket. I've got the program, but I just need the ticket to get that framed. The pie in the sky 1913 U of M MAC football ticket. So I got the program. No ticket is known to exist.
Okay.
But it's in this world, just because the collecting world doesn't know something exists doesn't mean it,
I
it
know.
actually doesn't. So, several years ago here in Michigan, there was a collector, and he had, I don't even want to put a number on it, but I'm assuming it was several thousand programs going back to the 1800s. U of M, MSU, Notre Dame. No one knew he had it. He passed away. He didn't have any kids. So some of the people that are on the BFC kind of curated it along with the company bookstore in East Lansing, and a lot of that stuff found up on eBay, but nobody knew it, and it was, 1903 Michigan programs, that 1913 Michigan State or MAC U of M program that I have came out of his collection. I mean, it was a mint one, right? Again, no one knew any of this, and all of a sudden it just hits the market. So yeah, so that 1913, because I mean, as you can tell, I like framing some of the more older or more significant football programs with their tickets, and that that one being the first one against Michigan is obviously significant for MSU and for me. So that's there, and then I have a 1915 ticket. That's the second win over Michigan, and I don't have the program. So that's then, but really anything, I mean, anything pre 1920 is hard to find, right? So
It seems like the fans are really zealous. I mean, you talked about somebody having 70 years. You're coming off 15. That likely means if they're that big of a fan of the program, that they might have some stuff s
Oh
stuck
yeah.
away.
Yeah, and I'd like that football jersey from the mid-20s, it was the granddaughter. Just had it in an attic, and
Have you
then
ever meandered like over to a game? They point out like, "Hey, here's 50 years, here's 60 years," and then you find out what section they're in. You meander over, like, "Hi, I'm 50 year, and I'm a huge collector. Do you have anything?"
no, I haven't done that. I
Just go
have
to a ball
met.
game.
I mean that's a good idea. I need to I need to think about doing that and trying to figure it out. But yeah, I haven't done that. I
I think
have come
if you
across
just
other
did it.
collectors, but
If you just did it, you're a very personable man. I mean, so I would just, introduce yourself, And just ask him honestly, would you, if you have anything, please let me know. I would be interested. And say to him too, if you have time, I'd like to invite you to see my collection.
Bob, you don't want to scare them off. If he shows them the man cave, they're going to run like hell.
Hey, I'd be comfortable because I know the stuff is preserved. There's a, you know, there are people like that, you know.
Seeing all that stuff scares me, and I know what you're talking about. Can you imagine being just a casual fan whose grandparents had the ticket, and you're like, I love Michigan State, but oh, this guy's,
That actually did happen once. There was a family that, again, grandparent was a teacher back at MAC 19, I think they said 19, like 12 through like 20. And they were getting rid of stuff, and like I got 200 postcards or whatever from them, and they threw away tickets to the game, football games, and I'm just like, but I was showing them, and yeah, they were kind of like, and I'm like, if you ever find anything, let me know,
Hey, we
right?
left our car running. We got to get.
That's so sad.
Oh, it is. It was. I was
Yeah,
heartbroken.
football. Well, that's a tough thing. I mean, just as a collector, you have to let the people close to you know what you have, just in case the unthinkable happens. I mean, so you don't throw it in. Look at this, boxes of old tickets. Nobody wants this.
Blue.
Well,
Brad, we're almost out of time. I don't even know how to conclude this, but do you have advice at all for a beginning collector? And if so, please share it with our audience.
a couple of things. First one, and my wife wanted to make sure that I definitely pointed this out, is if you are married or you have a partner, having one that is as involved, in the collecting or and appreciative of it is massive, right? Like, there's no fights between me and my wife.
I agree with that 100%.
She loves this stuff too. She's not crazy about it as I am, but she's happy that I'm, passionate about it. So that's number one. Having supportive spouse, or even just family and friends. Like, a lot of the stuff I get is, my mom or her friends find it at antique stores or estate
Oh, that's
sales
cool.
or whatever. It's all that. But the main thing is networking. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I never would have done this. I was not known in the collecting, even the MSU collecting community. People knew that somebody was buying up all this stuff, but they didn't know it was me. And I preferred it that way. But I met a couple of U of M collectors, and they kind of more introduced me to it. Like, John Stevens was one. T.R. Longo, who's on the VFC as well, he's another one. Kenny McGee, which is, he's a big, so those guys, yeah. And so those guys, and again, he's the one that wrote, was the co-author of that book. Those guys got me way more involved in networking, and just, it opens up so much more possibilities, because,
Would not agree more.
right, because they know what I'm looking for, I know what they're looking for, and very seldom do our cross path. We cross paths with specific items that we want, but we're always looking out for each other. And now, I've met you guys and others within the, the football collecting community. And so, yeah, that's huge, is the networking, and
Well, I'm constantly getting texts or emails just, hey, did you see this uncut sheet? Did you see this wax? Did you see this Largent thing? Constantly. Every other week, 20 times a year, somebody's pointing something out to me.
So that's huge. And the other thing I will say is, like, it's different for me because I'm so generic on what I collected. Anything MSU, which is again why it's massive. It's not just football, it's not just basketball, it's not just hockey, it's the university itself. Knowing what you want to collect, because it's, if you can focus in on something, you have more resources to go after higher end objects and items. But that's just something to consider, figuring out what you actually, what your collection and how you envision it being. And then again, as you can see, I'm really big on displaying it to keep and preserve things.
That's
Wow.
beautiful. Just
Wow.
beautiful.
Hey, we're out of time. I thank you, Brandon, for being on, and my
Brandon, you just made my week, man. Well done.
Thank you, sir. Yep.
And again, if you're not a subscriber to Gridiron Greats Magazine,
what are you waiting for?
Check out our website, Gridiron Greats Magazine.
Hey, Brandon, do you get Gridiron Greats?
I will now.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Thanks for watching, and we'll be back next week with another show. Take care.
The Sports History Network, where legends live on and the past plays loud.
Welcome to the place where history's proud. From gridiron glory to the hardwood stars, from the racetrack heat to Olympic bars, it's the voices, the stories, the moments you miss, told by fans and pros who live for this. Hook and Famic, the Sports History Network, where the past comes alive. Podcasts and blogs that keep the flame high. From Babe to Brady, Alley to the Dome, if it's history and sports, then this is the home. SportsHistoryNetwork.com, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.